Podcast.com anime and manga podcast. As always, the podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today it's brought to you by, I don't know, ThinkGeek, let's go with.
Yeah, just pick one.
Yeah, we have so damn many. But yeah, so ThinkGeek, they have stuff. Click at the bottom of the page or any of the banner ads for ThinkGeek on the site and go buy some stuff. Help support us by supporting them. Or you can support us directly by going to destroprods.com/store. We have our new Because Japan shirt spawned from this very show. And we have more on the way, hopefully. But we are always looking for new shirt design ideas, so please email them to bovion@destroprods.com or submit them into the t-shirt design forum thread on the forums. If we like it, we'll make it into a shirt, and we will pay you based on how well that shirt sells. So far, the guy who has given the guy who's made the Because Japan shirt has made money.
Ooh.
So yeah, he's already in the black. So yeah, your ROI for us might not be the highest, but you'll still have something.
Something.
So yeah, please submit your design ideas. We're always looking for as many as we can, and we want to make these into shirts so we can start making money for us and making money for you guys. So please, submit them. And we are still doing Extra Life, so please, donate generously. Go to destroprods.com/extralife, that's all one word, and donate. All proceeds raised go to the Children's Miracle Network hospitals that we are supporting. And it's all tax deductible, if any of you care about that. And you'll help save some kids' lives. So please, donate what you can and help, I guess. I'm your host, the Dead Man. Join me today, we have Pudgetron.
Hello.
Bovey is out being a person, I guess. What a fucking weirdo.
People are so overrated.
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with sitting in your underwear in a sweltering hot apartment talking to some dude in the microphone?
Exactly.
Fucking preppy. Yeah, just gonna be two of us. We're gonna be talking about some anime. We're gonna talk about what we watched. We're gonna talk about Bakemonogatari and the upcoming summer season of anime. What we're looking forward to. Figure just lay that all out.
Squee.
But yeah, since Bowie's not here, so I can't forget him. I guess I'll go first. So, in the rare case of me actually watching something that you guys have recommended or talked about, I read some Wada Wakeno.
Oh.
Yeah.
And what'd you think?
I really like it. I completely agree with what you were saying of it is like one of those like fighting manga things, but it's very much lighthearted, and I know why. Because they're fighting for the sake of fighting. Like in every other show, like in Freezing, something you compared it to, they're fighting against like some evil fucking gigantic interdimensional demons that are trying to destroy the world. In something like fuck, what is it? There's Shitarakuen. They're fighting to either control women or like free liberate women from the bonds of men or some shit. This is just I like to punch stuff.
Yeah.
And so they can focus on just the punching stuff.
Yeah, the main character got a scholarship.
Yeah.
To school because he fought a lot.
Yeah, that was great. Like, I love the very beginning of it. You just see the two guys stand on the roof just talking out like friends, and then just fight. I really enjoyed that, and just the insanity of it all. Just, I haven't got that far into it, but do they ever explain, like, why the kings give magical powers depending on what territories they control of a school campus?
I don't, well, not yet, anyway. Not that I've seen. So, they may, but, you know, it's magic.
Yeah, it's insane, and then he, like, when he rips this, when he gets, like, the magical sword that he's named after, he pulls it out of the ground, it's, like, the size of his balance beam.
Well, yeah, that's why she picked that sword.
Yeah, it's a really great series, it's got good fighting, and it's fun, which is nice.
Yeah.
I thought just dour as fuck. Which, don't get me wrong, I do enjoy the dourness of, like, something like Freezing, but it's nice to see, like, the antithesis of that, of just, horrible violent fighting, and everyone's like, oh, fuck yeah, this is awesome. You know, I got a shovel.
Woo! Shovel!
Yeah, so, Wile E. Way Kenno. It's a great series, definitely check it out. Good recommendation from Budge. So,
Hooray! Yeah. Approval!
Yeah. So, I've also been reading some more Cage of Eden, so... It's gotten to the point in the series where there are now two clans of people and they have started fighting.
Are there polar bears yet?
No polar bears yet. But being that it's a an island made, like, covered in prehistoric animals that turns out it was man-made. Everything on that island was man-made. Spoiler alert. I wouldn't put it past him. But yeah, so the guy they're fighting is a doctor, actually.
Ooh.
Only he's a sociopath.
Well, yeah. Duh.
Yeah, he uses his medical knowledge to, like, get people in line. Like when they describe, like, the first time he went there, he, like, infected his entire camp with, like, some weird virus that only he had the cure to, and anyone who didn't fall in line with him got just died off, and everyone else got the cure.
Well, that seems silly. Just fall in line with him, and then you get the cure, and then kick his ass. Unless it's, like, I suppose he may need to have regular injections or inhalements or however you want to take it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, so now Sengoku and the crew of the other side of the island have started, like, gone to war with the pyramid people because they live near a pyramid. That's why that's why I called them that.
I see. Not the Egyptians, but...
No, no Egyptians in the series, unfortunately.
Yet.
Well, hey, for all I know, they could, because it's like an international conglomerate thing that made this. So for all I know, they've been Americans, they've been Japanese. For all I know, there could be an Egyptian guy in there. You know, who's trying to make, like, Set or something.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, it's getting interesting. I'm guessing that at some point there's going to be attempted rape. That's the direction it seems to be going.
Yeah. I'm honestly surprised it hasn't happened already.
I know, it's weird.
Seems like that kind of series.
Yeah, but like... Yeah, but this is like gang rape now.
Yeah.
With multiple women and multiple dudes.
Ah.
But yeah. So Cage of Eden, it's still... I still really like it. It's getting more interesting now. Like, they've just kind of... They've explained enough about the island to just say, fuck it, now we're just gonna be having dudes fighting each other.
Now that we've established... Now that we've taken 90 chapters to establish the island is weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and... Like, see, it's been like... It's been a good, like, volume or two since we've actually seen any dinosaurs or anything. Which I'm just realizing now, and that's kind of disturbing.
That means they're organizing in one place for an attack.
Yeah. They're going to be having the flying ones, like, dropping bombs of shit on everyone. But I'm guessing that like somewhere during this whole invasion, attempted gang rape thing, that dinosaurs are gonna show up and fuck everything up. And then the doctor's gonna die and it's gonna be awesome. But yeah. So, moving on. Also read some more aphorism. Yeah, so we've actually learned what the floating island is, kind of. We learned like how this school managed to exist. We learned who the guy that the main character transforms into is. Spoiler alert, he's not actually just that. He's not actually just the main character, but looking different.
Oh, he's like possessed.
Pretty much, yeah. And it's really cool. Like they're going in interesting directions with it, and I enjoy it. I still highly recommend the series to you, Pudge.
Alright.
And yeah, it's good. We started getting more of the government side of things. So one of the main characters, his sister is like a high-ranking government official. And so, as it turns out, spoiler alert, he was sent in there to, like, investigate the school.
Ooh.
And figure out some way of shutting it down without causing horrible, horrible warness. But, yeah. So, aphorism is still pretty good, I guess.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. So, Pudge, what have you been watching and reading?
Let's see. This is from actually a while ago, but you know, I have a large backlog, so this is allowed.
Okay.
So the main character, it's called Inu X Boku SS. I suppose I should get that out of the way.
Yeah, like I guess the main character's like, wait, what's a series?
It's called Inu X Boku SS, and it follows Ririchio Shirakin, the only daughter of an influential family. And she, well, let's just say she, to put it lightly, she has no social skills at all.
Finally, someone I can relate to.
Yeah, she has this bad habit of seeming extremely aloof when she gets nervous.
Mm-hmm.
She defaults to aloof, so that has sort of ostracized her. So, what she has decided to do is she's going to go move out and live on her own at the Maison de Ayakashi, which is basically a giant mansion which houses the various descendants of humans and a variety of demons / spirits. So they're like half human hybrid things, which they can transform back and forth from a human form to a sort of wolf person thing. Not always. There's a guy who transforms into like a roll of parchment.
What? Oh, he just turns into a piece. He just turns into a piece of paper.
Well, a talking piece of paper that can float around.
So he's. It's like they took that joke from a comic jumper of like the superhero who's just a piece of paper and made it into a thing.
I'm sure it's actually some actual spiritual thing. I'm sure it's a very common spiritual figure in Japanese culture. So, ha. But basically, each resident is assigned their own secret service agent, SS. What the SS is from. Who's also one of the half-human hybrid things. And that's basically their personal butler. Or servant, I guess. Gender neutral and all that nonsense.
Hmm.
And it's sort of her dealing with adolescence, I guess, while having superpowers.
So it's a supernatural slice of life type thing?
Yeah.
I can get into that. Like the slice of life, like the slice of life series juxtaposed with something crazy is something I really dig.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of one of the reasons why I really got into Rosario plus Vampire for a while.
Okay. Yeah, but it's like at least there's a manga and an anime, and at least the anime doesn't really reveal a whole lot about what. They make a big deal about what she is,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it's just a cultural difference between us, but I don't really catch it.
Huh.
So, I don't think they really actually reveal what she is, what her spirit form is, until, I think it's 5 episodes in.
Okay.
And they sort of make it out to be a big deal. So.
Okay.
So, I'm not going to spoil it now. Go watch.
Will do.
Alright. Then there is Sayonara Zetsubou-sensei.
Okay.
Which I may have.
Before you get into this, I'm going to say that from now on, you, specifically you, will have 10 seconds to explain the outline of your show.
Alright.
And then get into your thoughts on it.
Okay,
ready.
Not interchange? Not interweaving them into one big ramble?
No, fuck no.
Okay.
Yeah, we gotta get better at this.
Anyway.
Okay, so, ready? Go.
Okay, Sayonara Zetsubou-sensei is about the titular character. I can't...
Time.
Nozomi Itoshiki is his name. He's basically, he's an extremely depressed, and when we first find him, he's attempting to hang himself. So, and he's saved by this excessively cheery girl named Kafka Fura, and who basically completely ignores his protests that he's trying to kill himself, and determines that he was just trying to make himself taller. He then flees from this beacon of cheer, and long story short, ends up in his teaching assignment, where it just so happens that Miss Kafka is a student. And along with the overly cheery Kafka, there is a rogues gallery of other insane people. So
you just passed a minute and 10 seconds.
But anyway, it's kind of one of those. It's the darkest of dark humor.
Okay, I can get into that.
Yeah, it's, if you're into that kind of thing, just to give some brief examples of what some of the classmates are, there's one girl who stalks him obsessively. I mean, that's how you stalk people, I guess.
You can casually stalk people. I've done that.
There's a homicidal psychopath. Let's see. There's the one girl who's really quiet, and only talks through texts, but it's anything she sends you is extremely insulting. And there's the aforementioned Kafka, who everybody is actually terrified of, because they're basically terrified of when she finally cracks. Because I think they know it's happened before.
So
she's badly for everybody.
So she's like retardedly cheerful and stuff, but she's actually just fucking insane.
Well, yes. When she finally reaches her limits, everybody goes, "Ah, fuck." So it's a very sort of tongue in cheek. If you're not a fan of, you know, poking fun at mental disorders, not your show.
Well, speaking as a person with a mental disorder,
I don't think anybody has yours.
Damn it!
Not to my knowledge. There are a couple characters who are just sort of background. So, they may. You never know. There may be some Asperger's.
Asperger's, seriously?
I just made that up on the go. Could you tell?
No, it sounded completely natural.
Pudgetron is not responsible for any insult, for any insulting comments he may make.
So I'd seen a couple of, like, a few minutes of a few episodes of Sayonara Basensei before, like, in different AMVs and stuff, and just from that, like, the art style seems bizarre to me. I don't know why.
It fits. Believe me, it fits with the tone of the show. It's a little... It is odd. I'm not going to deny that. It's, it's a very sort of flat... It's not bright and cheery. It's very flat, unichrome, monochrome, I guess.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Is the right word.
Unicron. He's coming for you.
Unicron's in it.
Oh, boy! No, it's not. It's like, what are they gonna... It's like, is Shockwave guarding the bridge to Cybertron? Is it in someone's desk?
Not to my knowledge.
Do you ever see inside anyone's desk?
I don't think so.
Then you never know.
You never know. I'd have to... You should watch it and let me know.
Yeah, I'll look into it. I'll deconstruct that show and try to find all the connections to the Cybertron in it.
Yeah. You do that.
Coming soon.
They are plentiful.
Yeah, coming soon. My in-depth analysis article of the comparisons between Transformers and Sayonara Zetsubou Sensei.
Yeah.
Not really. Fuck. I gotta make Bowie write that. He's not here. Yeah. He can't object.
Exactly. What would you accept? Silence means yes.
Alright. So coming soon from Bobby-Wan.
Anyway.
Yeah, back on topic.
Now, this next one was... I mentioned it in the Aimless Wanderings.
Mm-hmm.
This most recent one.
Yes. Which is currently available now on DestroProds.com.
I gave the thumbs up. I don't know why I keep doing that. I give thumbs up, and it's like, nobody can see me. But anyway, it's called, the anime is Memosign, which I'm not going to bother spelling it out for you. It's the Greek goddess of memory.
Okay, and now you actually will only have 20 seconds to describe the premise of the show.
All right.
Okay, ready? Go.
Rin runs a private eye business, basically, and it follows her dealings throughout the years. And
10 seconds.
Basically, the catch is she's immortal, so it sort of plays with that in various different ways.
Time.
So that is a very cut down thing, but... The one of the more interesting things about it, I guess, is it's a six episodes.
Huh.
Like, it's not an OVA, but it's only six episodes.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. And I think each episode takes place in a different year. From, I think it's the early 90s when it starts.
Okay.
Or the late 80s. And it just kind of jumps through time.
So is it like... So each episode is a different year, so just, like, jump ahead to, like, year after year after year?
Or... I think there are a couple that jump a few years.
But I mean, like,
especially 5 years each jump, because I remember the regular mortal character, the first one, I guess,
mm-hmm.
ages significantly sometimes.
Okay.
Stretches.
Okay, but yeah, so... Each episode is only focusing on 1 year, then the next episode does a time jump to a different year.
Yeah.
Okay. That could be cool.
It is, actually. I should really have figured out when this actually started, but it's... Basically, it's actually very blunt. It doesn't sugarcoat anything. But with the immortal characters and whatnot...
Okay.
And so it's kind of, that's just quote verbatim from TV Tropes here. All in all, the series is total seinen bait, featuring nigh everything older male audiences' hearts may desire. Cute girls, respectable guys, mind-screwable plot, alcohol and blood in equal proportions, a considerable amount of girls' love, and both types of sex. Take your pick. And all of the above without ever going over the top with it. Be prepared to wince a couple of times, though.
Wince?
Yes. Isn't flinching, like, ugh. Like, that kind of thing.
Oh. Thing. Okay. should I ask why?
There's one particular scene where, Rain is getting tortured.
Mm.
Yeah, and let's just say the person doing the torturing gets creative.
Okay.
With an immortal.
Yeah, I can see like being immortal and being tortured is if you're mortal and you're being tortured, you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah. Pretty much. And if you really want a mental image, there's a lot of piercings. In fun places.
Mm-mm.
And of course, I use the word fun quite wrongly.
Okay, so I may have to watch this show.
Yeah, it is. It is good. It's older, but it's, well, it's one of the reasons I got into anime in general, as I think I mentioned in Aimless Wanderings.
Okay, so you said like it has all this really weird stuff in it, but it never really goes over the top with it. So is the entire show like that, like kind of toned down, or is it just they don't go over the top with the insane stuff?
They don't really go over the top with the insane stuff. There is, I think it's the last two episodes, there's sort of this ongoing subplot throughout the whole series of, there's this other immortal guy, and it's a legend of a castle that comes up again and again, and it all comes to a head in like the last couple episodes, and those get pretty, especially the last episode gets pretty crazy.
Okay.
With some of the stuff. But other than that, yeah, it's pretty, I mean, the violence and stuff is kind of toned down. They do an interesting part of the, they explore an interesting part of the immortal physiology, I guess. In that, well, they put one of the characters through a jet engine.
Oh, okay. Is his name, is the character's name Syndrome?
No. But basically what happens is, I mean, she recovers, but it takes, I think it happens at the end of one episode, and then it's like a 5-year jump.
Mm-hmm.
And she still hasn't fully recovered. So it takes a while after, you know, getting your body mulched and subsequently dropped into the ocean.
As you would expect it to.
Yeah, well, that just happens to be where the plane was flying at the time. There was no malice of forethought. Like, I'm going to take these, this human chum, dump it in the water.
Yeah, because, like, if you did, like, get a bucket of human chum, dump it in the water, it got eaten by sharks, how would you actually recreate your own body? Would you, like, all the body parts come to life in different sharks and you have to, like, fight your way out of them?
They never quite explain the mechanics of the regeneration process. They sort of go into a very shallow explanation of why certain people are immortal, and it basically comes down to a game of roulette. It's, there are these, I think they reference Yggdrasil, I think it's what, but for sort of just this world thing, for explanation's sake, I'll call it Yggdrasil. I'm not sure if they actually refer to it as that in the show.
Okay.
But, you know, it's that idea, like the world's tree kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
And it has seeds throughout the world at all times. Normal people can't see them, but every once in a while, and for the most part, they're basically impotent seeds, but the occasion, you get the occasional special one, and if one of those, the special ones passes through you, you're immortal.
Okay.
Basically. And, but they basically, other than that, these things just pass through you with no, you don't even register them.
Okay.
At all. So, and there's, like, I think there's 3 immortal characters.
Okay. Cool.
So, that's just to show you how rare they are, or how much the immortal characters murder each other. But
wait, so it's like a Highlander situation?
No, not really. But there is one guy who's like, I'm a crazy hermaphrodite.
There can be only one.
Hermaphrodite?
Yes, there can be only one hermaphrodite.
But, yeah, he's... And there's these angels and things which are sort of a byproduct of it as well, and they're, like, super death rapey towards immortals.
Okay.
And, yes, I mean that in quite literally.
They want to rape them to death?
Well, they... There's a weird... It's really weird what they do. It's basically... There's this weird thing with the angel things, and immortals can't seem to resist them.
Okay.
And they sort of eat the immortals.
Okay.
And that's like one of the way to kill them. Kill one of the immortals is having these things... eat them. It's weird.
It's Japan.
Yeah, kinda.
Yeah, available now at destropros.com/store.
But yeah, that's Mnemosyne, so...
Okay, I'm definitely gonna have to get into that. It sounds really interesting.
It is. It's... I will admit it's a little... I did a poor job explaining it, but...
It's fine.
There are a lot of intricacies that...
Okay.
I cannot tell you about due to spoilers, or B, cannot do justice, so I won't try.
Okay. Okay, so I guess it's going to do it for what we've been watching?
Yeah, I think so. I don't have anything else. Not
yeah.
Right now, anyway.
So, on to summer. So, summer anime season's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pudge already wrote his article about it, so the series that he's most excited about, so you can go check out his thing. Available now on DestroProds.com. And so I guess I'll be getting into some of mine. So he linked the big poster of the summer anime schedule, and I picked out four series on it that I am personally looking forward to. So starting off with Oda Nobuna no Yabo. Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's the female Oda Nobunaga one. Right?
Yeah, so there's a guy who is just, like, a regular high school student, and one day he, like, gets transported back in time to, like, feudal era Japan, but all, like, the famous warlords are now just cute high school girls.
Well, cute warlord girls.
Yeah, cute warlord high school girls.
They're not in high school. They're not high school girls.
They're high school age,
yeah,
damn it. But yeah, this actually sounds really interesting. It's going to be really weird seeing the inevitable romance between the main guy and Oda Nobunaga.
Yeah, it will be. But, I mean, it's something... I mean, the reason I didn't really mention it is because maybe it's just me, but I've been sort of looking at a lot of Sengoku-era stuff recently.
Yeah, I haven't.
Time you're looking at, I guess.
Yeah, the only real exposure to the, Sengoku era, I guess, that I've seen has been stuff that's been mentioned in passing in other anime. So any exposure I've had to it has all been secondhand and only audio. Like, I've never seen anything actually from any kind of that. So it'll be cool, actually going and seeing this era that I've heard so much about. And that I don't remember any of.
Well, it's the Warring States.
I got that.
So...
It's, you know, fighting and shit. But I'm just wondering, so, all the warlords are cute girls. Are their armies also cute girls?
I don't know. You're going to have to watch the show.
Yeah, and if they're all cute girls, what about the rest of the world? Is the rest of the world, like, normal? Like,
well, you could assume that the roles are just sort of gender-flipped.
You gotta assume that somewhere along the line these warlords got married and had kids. So, how is that gonna work when all the warlords are girls? Like, are they gonna be marrying guys who are, like, male counterparts to the real-life ladies they married? Or are they just gonna be anime counterparts to the real-life ladies they married, so it's just gonna be a weird lesbian relationship at all times? Yeah, these are the things I think about.
And you'll never know the answers until you watch this stupid show, so why are you asking me these things?
I'm just putting it out there into the world. Like a fart in an elevator. I'm crop dusting this podcast of just coming in, wonder what this is, walking away. But yeah, so moving on. Campion.
Yes,
so I forget what it said about this show, so I'm going to pull the thing back up.
Man kills God, gets the title of Campion, and
yeah. He becomes. Yeah.
Start challenging him to fights. I think that's basically what it boils down to.
Yeah, so look at the thing. It's a battle fantasy story. It follows an ordinary high school student named Goda Kusanagi who kills a god and claims his powers. As a result, Goda becomes a campion who slays other gods. So I'm just wondering how actually his... Like, the art doesn't exactly... The art little thing that they have there doesn't exactly seem like the kind of thing with murder in it all the time. So, just... It's going to be interesting seeing how he actually kills a god. Like, if it's like... Like, if it's like some accidental thing of like, oh, hey, here's some chocolate. They eat it, turns out gods are allergic to chocolate and dies, and then, oh my god, I'm a god slayer now. Or if it's like, actually, I'm going to murder this dude. Oh, wait, it's a god.
Hmm.
Or if it's going to be like a... Or if it's going to be like just a regular high school fighting thing of... I'm a fight. Whoops, I killed you. Now I got to fight some more.
Yeah, but the impression I got from the synopsis was that this all sort of happened before the series starts.
Okay.
And thus, they are under no obligation to explain it.
Okay.
Yeah, it happened. Don't worry about how it happened.
Hey, it's like, just chill, bro, it happened.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Okay, moving on to La Storia della Arcana Famiglia. So this one, follows the story of the Arcana Famiglia, which is a weird organization that owns a small Mediterranean island that has like a bunch of pirates and shit all over it. And so the head of that family has a daughter, and she's supposed to be married to the successor of the family. And then the entire series is just the competition. So the entire series just focuses on the competition of deciding who the next head of the family will be.
Tournament fighting show.
Yep. And the daughter is going to be fighting in it, so she might end up being her own marriage person.
Yes. It could be.
Yeah, so the art looks pretty good. Like, there's a guy on the cover with a kind of badass Japanese eye patch that's stuck it with a gun to his head, so if that tells you anything...
Yes. It'll be interesting. I mean, I should go pull up that thing.
Yes, you should. Do it now. I'll wait.
But anyway... Anyway, and where are you? But anyway, it seems like it's going to be a tournament fighting thing. But what I sort of thought about. It just seems like it's going to be, well, like I've said three times already.
It seems like it's going to be a tournament fighting thing. It seems like it's going to be a tournament fighting thing. You know, it's going to be a tournament fighting thing.
Yeah, but, you know, Magic Mafia.
Yeah, but still, it's Magic fucking Mafia, dude. Yeah, like, you can say tournament fighting show all you want, but, like, tournament fighting shows usually have some other aspect to them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm still going to... watch it at least a bit. I'm still going to check it out. I'm probably going to check out the vast majority of the things on this list.
I'm going to check out a few. We should probably start reviewing these more.
Probably. that is business talk.
Yes. We're here for non-business talk.
Yes.
We're here for sexy talk.
Exactly.
So yeah, finally, another thing I'm looking forward to that's actually on your list, Kokoro Connect.
Yes.
Yeah. I did not see that anywhere on that little poster thing.
No, I thought it was somewhere.
Hmm. But yeah, so it's a show about five friends who randomly switch bodies with each other.
Yeah.
Which, this may paint a weird picture of me, but I like cross-gender body swap stories. It's interesting. Like one series that I actually ended up really liking that I never thought I'd like was Pretty Face, which a guy ends up getting a car accident and through surgery and shit turns into a girl and has to live through a life as a girl now. And those stories interest me. It's interesting seeing different authors' takes on how a guy would live life as a girl or how a girl would live life as a guy.
If you're into that kind of thing, there's one series you should definitely check out, though. Then, it's Kashimashi Girl Meets Girl. Basically, it boils... This guy, he's a gardening club student. He likes gardening.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes climbing on the mountain near his house to...
Wait, is this a story where, like, an alien spaceship crashes on him and then he gets rebuilt as a girl?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. You've recommended this series to me before, and I haven't got a chance to check it out yet.
But yeah, a spaceship accidentally crashes on him, and trying to fix their mistake, they rebuild his body, but they rebuild him as a girl by mistake. And then they can't fix it.
Yeah, because, you know, aliens and shit. They can't just, like, land on him again and rebuild him as a guy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
and
so...
then there's lesbians.
But yeah, so that does it for summer anime.
Woo, summer. So, check stuff out.
Yeah.
Read my article.
Yeah, read Pudge's article. He's the senior anime manga guy, so he knows what he's talking about, probably.
Mostly.
Yeah. But yeah, so, moving on to Anime Club. So, Pudge, it was your turn to pick series, and you picked Bakemonogatari.
All right. So, Bakemonogatari, translated... into English as Ghost Story.
Ooh.
Yeah, you see what I did there? Well, not me, it was the author, but anyway.
The guy with the thing in the van.
Or Mon's Story, even. That works, too. But,
yes.
I digress.
On topic.
It is based off of a series of light novels by Misio Isin, which center around Koyumi Araragi, who's a third-year high school student who is a recovering vampire. There's really no other way to put it.
Yeah. He goes to the meeting, he's like, "Hi, I'm Araragi. I'm Araragi. I'm a vampire.
I'm Araragi."
Yes! Araragi.
And basically the story kicks off when he catches a classmate falling down the stairs.
Well, not so much falling down the stairs as falling down, like, the giant fucking...
Apparently their school is a giant spiral staircase.
Yeah, which doesn't get... Yeah, like, which goes up for, like, 10 stories and doesn't let off on a single floor.
Yep. It's a very sort of abstract...
Yeah. That seems to be the entire style of the show, though. Like, everything looks... Like, there are, like, 7 different art styles in any given episode.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, he catches his classmate when she falls down the stairwell and catches her and discovers that she basically weighs nothing.
Yeah, I think it was established she weighs like 0.05 kilograms.
That may be something like the... That may have been the measurement that she gave. Yeah. It may have been 5, though. But... Anyway, it's not really that important.
Yeah. The point is, she doesn't weigh what she should.
Yes. for her size.
Yeah. Well, for the fact that she's a person.
Yes, pretty much.
And not a piece of paper.
A healthy-looking person.
Yeah. Who has a bizarre amount of stationary equipment up her sleeves.
Well, yeah, that's part of her charm.
Yeah, part of her charm is, I'm going to staple you in the face.
But, basically, he... No Wait Girl takes her to Mame Oshino. To who was the man who helped him with his vampirism. And helps her out.
Yeah. And
multiple other people follow.
Yeah. So I only got about a third of the way through the series.
Okay. So you were...
I was on the snail.
Okay. So that must have been near the end of the snail, then.
Yeah.
Because it goes... I think it goes crab, snail, snake...
Yeah.
Monkey, cat...
Sure.
I think.
Yeah.
A cat's the last one. It's just the snake and the monkey that are mixed up.
Yeah, I saw Bovey watching some of the later episodes. Like, he was around, I think, like the last fifth of the series, and I'm pretty sure he had finished with monkey and started on snake.
Oh, okay.
Or was still dealing with monkey.
But yeah, the point is...
The point is, a girl is menaced by some kind of animal spirit, and Araragi helps.
Yes. Via, well, not via Oshino.
Yeah. He introduces them to Oshino.
And Oshino goes, okay.
Do this.
and then Oshino until the next person he runs into.
Yeah. Yeah, so... I want to talk about the actual visual aesthetic of the show, because it is bizarre. That was immediately one of the first things I noticed. So, at multiple times throughout the show, it'll just cut to a colored screen with a bunch of text on it.
Yes.
And from some of that, at the beginning, it usually just goes through, like, a few dozen of those in, like, rapid succession, so you can barely read what's on them.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to be given some kind of backstory. Like, I remember, like, I was looking at one, and I managed to read some of it, and it was explaining how Araragi became a vampire. It was like spring break, he met a girl, she was a vampire, and turned him.
Yep.
Yeah, and so, then throughout the show, they keep cutting to that, they do, like, red scene, black scene, they occasionally just, like, cut away to, like, and it just shows the line of person the character's currently saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also... So in the actual show, like, character art styles do change from time to time. Like, there have been a couple times where we went back to, like, old original Astro Boy style of art. Back when it was Tetsuwan Adam.
Yeah.
And it's weird. But I really like it.
I know. It is. It's awesome.
Yeah. And then when they manage to keep, like, one conformative art style, it's usually, like... So they usually have, like, the regular art style of just the characters walking around, but then there are, like, occasionally of just regular-looking backgrounds, but then just, like, some stuff is just one matte color, which makes it really pop out. Like, the thing that's jumping to mind is the park.
Yeah.
So that was one of the interesting things I liked about the art was just the matte colors on things that just made them stand out a bit more. I really like that.
Yeah, that's one of the better artistic choices I've seen in the show.
Yeah.
Like, they make everything else seem so uniform, so it's like the only thing that you can pay attention to is the characters and their interactions.
Yeah, the character interactions work really well. Like, a lot of the time... Going back to the park thing, one thing that I saw them do a lot there was having the character sitting far apart, then cutting away to character sitting close, then someone says something and cuts away to character sitting far apart again.
Yeah.
Which, it was a nice visual... It was nice of actually just having them showing character reaction to something without having a lot of dialogue, or showing them, like, having drawn-out interactions of, like, what? It's just kind of like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, like... Some of the... And I mean, he has various interactions with the people he's helped in the past. Like, yeah.
Doesn't he start dating the crab girl?
Yeah. That basically unofficially starts at the beginning of the snail.
Yeah, unofficially. Like, she... Like, so Senju Kahata, who's the crab girl, after everything happens, she, like, is feeling a bit better about herself, so she actually has weight now. And then she, mm-hmm. like, starts talking to him and saying, like, I could do anything. Like, since you helped me, I'll help you. Anything. It's like, do you want a girlfriend?
Yeah. And they never really confirm it there, mm-hmm. but...
Yeah, it happens. And then the monkey girl's, like, the lesbian who's in love with his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Or something. Yeah, this show's really weird.
It is. Like, but, when you get later on in the series, you know, he has, like, the characters that he helps out don't disappear.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know, I saw the, I saw Asher helped out the monkey girl, she was still around, I'm pretty sure I saw the snail girl in there a few times again.
Yeah, those are some of the most hilarious interactions that you will see. Him and Hatchkaji.
Yeah, because what I've seen so far, it's been, like, I hate you, then he knocks her out twice, and it's just, like, first time, he just, like fighting, she goes to kick him, and he just, like, fucking pile drives her and just starts laughing.
Yeah.
It's like, there was once a man who knocked a high school, who knocked a middle age, like a middle school girl unconscious and laughed about it. Oh, wait, that's me.
Oh, wait, that's me.
Yeah, just when he realizes that, like, he's giving his own thing, explaining what he just did, and then he realizes that he was it, and he was like, oh, fuck.
Pretty much, that's...
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, one of the recurring things is he sort of, molests her. It's hilarious.
Though. Intentionally?
Yes.
He intentionally molests her.
Like, he'll be walking to wherever he walks to. Probably, I think he, for the most part in this series, you see him walking to, like, Senju Gahara's house or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or his friend's house. I can't remember what her name is, but... and he'll just see her, you know, wandering the city.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll just be this ridiculous grin on his face. And basically, he molests her.
Okay. It's kind of painting a bad picture in my mind about Aragi.
It's very weird. I may seem a bit distracted here because I'm trying to actually find a good scene with it.
I'll be watching more of the show. I'll be finishing it off, so I'll be able to see it then. I don't want spoilers.
These aren't spoiler scenes. Don't worry.
Yeah, so when actually is him going up to, like he sees her in the street, do you get a cutaway to see his hair, like his little hair tick thing flicker a bit? Because that's another thing I noticed a lot of, is his emotions are given through that one clump of hair.
Yeah. Like, you...
Pudge, you there? Fuck, dropped him.
Believe me, you'll see it in that clip. I sent him a clip.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I can still hear you.
Yeah, my everything's freaking out.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Well, there we go. And we're back!
Yeah. But yeah, like he has, like, the standard anime thing of just having, like, regular-looking hair, kind of, but with one, like, lock of it just jutting out into the air.
Yeah.
And that kind of gets across his entire emotional spectrum.
Pretty much.
Man, this show... Look, I don't know what else to say about it. It's really good. It's really bizarre, but it's really good.
Well, yeah. Like, actually, that clip I actually sent you is subtitled in Spanish, so don't worry.
It's in Spanish, too?
It's subtitled in Spanish.
Oh, okay, subtitled in Spanish.
No, the guy isn't. It was not redubbed in Spanish.
What it could, well, it could have been.
I would, not to my knowledge.
I wouldn't put it past this show to just like all of a sudden just switch to speaking Spanish.
But yes, it's that is certainly one of the more interesting things. It's basically you only need to get about 10 seconds in to see his ridiculous grin.
Okay, but yeah, a little,
yeah. And what he does.
Yeah, I'll watch. Okay, so I'll watch that after we're done here.
Yeah, but it's hilarious. Take my word for it. We can post the link in the description.
Yeah, sure.
If people want to watch it.
Yeah. So Diz, if you want to watch it, let us know.
What am I talking about? If when.
But yeah, so I guess it's going to do it for Bakemonogatari.
Yeah, and I should also mention that if you really do like it, watch Nisimonogatari as well.
Yeah, that's a sequel to it, right?
Yeah, it's the second season, and it's not as many, he's not helping out as many people, but it actually brings his sisters into the show. They play a major role.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I believe.
Yep. They're the ones he's helping out.
Yes. That. Yeah. So far, I've only heard mention of them, and aren't they the ones that like do the voiceover for the next episode preview thing?
Yeah, they're the ones who do the next episode previews.
Yeah. Next time on Bakemonogatari.
They show up a couple of times.
Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen them once, I think.
Very briefly, like they wake him up at one point. I know that.
Yeah, that's one of the things. Like end of the episode, he like gets in. They start like jumping all over his bizarrely cushy blanket.
Yes.
Like, it's like, as soon as he got in there, he either put on, like, 50 pounds, or the blanket is just that cushy.
Yeah. But yeah. Needless to say, I think what we have come to the conclusion that Koyomi Araragi has really weird relationships with people.
Just a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. But yeah, so, Bakemonogatari. It is awesome. Check it out. You're going to love it.
Love it.
Yeah, so, Bovi is not here, but he texted me his choice for the next series we're going to be watching, and that series is Usagi Drop. Yeah, and so, next week we're also be starting a new thing, which is a anime club supplement thing, where we'll be doing commentary tracks for the first episode of whatever series we're watching.
Woo!
Yeah, so, next episode released either on the same day or the next day, is going to be a commentary track for the first episode of Usagi Drop. I'm pretty sure it's Usagi Drop. Let me just double-check that. Do-da-do.
We have our shit together.
Wrong person. Yes, okay, it's Usagi Drop.
Yes, which is... Well, I can tell you right now, after reading the entire manga... I mean, it's nice. It's a nice, sort of, happy series, but, well, you'll see, I guess.
Okay, I'm scared.
Don't expect anything big.
Okay. Yeah,
but
so.
It's good.
Okay.
Take my word for it. It's good.
Okay, okay. Okay, so.
That's more for the audience's benefit.
Okay, so. That's going to do it for this week. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow the site at DeathStoreProds. I am at Denman_DDProds. And he is not at Punchatron420.
Yeah, I mean, you can follow that.
And nothing will happen on it.
But nothing will be posted.
Yes. We are still, even though our Indiegogo has, probably by the time you're listening to this, has ended, we are still going to be trying to auction off the Punchatron Twitter account, as well as the Darth Brovey one. Since we won't do anything with them, but you guys could do something possibly horrible with them. So yeah, please.
Anything you want.
So yeah, if you're interested, please contact me at deadman@deathstoreprods.com. But yeah, so, be sure to come back. I'm not sure if we're going to be posting it. Yeah, we're kind of doing an internal thing, talking about whether or not to do Jaws commentary on Friday, but we'll let you know when we make a decision. So be sure to either come back this Friday or next Friday for Jaws. Sure to come back on Sunday at All Games Radio at allgames.com for the Anything Cast Live, Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Then, next week, we'll be having comics and movies. So, yeah. Check us out then. And at some point, I will be posting my review of Lone Survivor. Just stop bugging me. But yeah, until next time, I'm dead.
I'm but drunk.
See you guys next time.